All right, Devon, say good evening. So what I wanted to do tonight was something a little bit different, which is to learn a little bit from the Sefer Pulas HaTzadik. Remember, again, what we've done in the past weeks is that we've gone ahead, and the Pulas HaTzadik in the beginning is wonderful because it gives you a little bit of a biography of Rabbi Nachman's life. And then we've kind of gone from the Pulas HaTzadik into Likutei Moharan to learn some of the Rebbe's Torah. So tonight, I just want to spend this evening, next week we'll get back to our regularly scheduled program, but just for this week to go ahead and focus a little bit more on Pulas HaTzadik, because there's an amazing maisi here that I want to share with you. So look at paragraph Dalet. So remember, again, over the last number of weeks, we've been speaking about the history of Rabbi Nachman, noting the fact that Rabbi Nachman is a great grandson of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. We also pointed out that Rabbi Nachman was born in the very room that the Baal Shem Tov used to do his Avodas HaKadosh, that he used to daven, he used to learn in. Quite an amazing idea. So look at paragraph Dalet. There's more. I put more on these sheets than we're going to do tonight, but I think you'll find it very meaningful. B'yamim ahem, achar hisgalus haBaal Shem Tov HaKadosh, visparsamuso ba'olam, naharu elav talmidim rabim. So it was in those days after the Baal Shem Tov, was revealed. It was revealed as Parsamuso Ba'olam, his revelation in this world, thank you. Naru Elav Tamid Rabim, many students flocked to the Baal Shem Tov. Sheyu Tzadikim Kidoshim, Ubineim Hayat Tamid Sayer. So remember again, the Baal Shem Tov story itself is interesting. We'll see the Baal Shem Tov story actually, not tonight, but maybe we'll see it next week. The Baal Shem Tov's childhood story is wild. Just what happened to him in his childhood and the difficulties and the tragedies of his childhood are absolutely, almost absolutely unbelievable. But the Baal Shem Tov somehow, someway, we're going to see, became a gadol in his own right. So when the Baal Shem Tov reveals himself to the world, you'll see also by many of the early Hasidic masters, there was a concerted effort to shield their identity from the world. That they did not want the world to know that they were tzaddikim. That was for a variety of reasons. Part of it is humility. Part of it is also because there was a recognition that, you know, what happens when everyone knows you're a tzaddik? You all know. What happens when everybody knows you're a tzaddik? Right? Yeah. So what happens? Same thing when you become Baltimore councilman, right? What happens? Everybody needs you, right? Everybody, Mir Sashan, right? Everybody needs you. So the truth is, what that does is it creates an incredible, I'm going to use the word burden, it's an all, meaning, because what does the tzaddik want to do? The tzaddik wants to daven, the tzaddik wants to learn, the tzaddik wants to do chesed, but the tzaddik doesn't necessarily want to be bound by the needs of everyone else. Tzaddik davens everybody else. I want to be clear, it's not the pshat that the tzaddik is selfish, because the tzaddik will daven for everyone, the tzaddik will have in mind everyone and is learning, the tzaddik is no say the all, he bears the yoke of the entire clown. But he likes to do it bitzino in private. So that when the Baal Shem Tov finally became known, so people began to flock to him. Great people, regular people. And among the people who came to the Baal Shem Tov was a young man, a young Talmud, Ushmo Rabbi Nachman Meir Horidenko. And a young man by the name of Rabbi Nachman, who again, you already see where this is going. This is going to be Rabbi Nachman of Breslov's grandfather. Rabbi Nachman of Horidenko became the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. And this young man didn't just become a Talmud, he became a Ben Bais. He became an indispensable part of the household of the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov hayenoeg lishloach oso lishlichos nechutzos v'chibev oso ma'od mod. And he kind of became the Baal Shem Tov's right-hand man. The Baal Shem Tov sent him off on different missions and loved him very much. Section Hey. Pamachos ba ha-Baal Shem Tov ha-Kadosh Ba el ha-Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Zchus ha-Yogin Aleinu, Achos ha-Tzadik Reb Yitzchak Midro Bisht, Zal, U-Biksha Mimenu, She-Yimtza Ba-Avura Shiduch Hagun. So what happened? So one time, the sister of the great Tzadik Reb Yitzchak of Drovihisht came and asked for a Shiduch. So what happened? V'yotza Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Zchus ha-Yogin Aleinu, Lihishtadich Im Tamidu Ha-Chaviv Alav Ma'od, Rabbi Nachman Haridenker. So the Baal Shem Tov suggested a shidduch, his Talmud Rabbi Nachman. V'chein diber tekef u'miyadim tamido, v'nigmar ha-shidduch. V'nigmar ha-shidduch, fine. So what happened? So they got married. V'nigmar ha-shidduch, shal ha-Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Tamid Rabbi Nachman, nu, matitim li b'schar ha-shadchanos. So, you know, there's a concept of shadchanos. Shadchanos means that if somebody goes ahead and sets you up and you get married as a result, that there's a fee, a matchmaking fee, a finder's fee, a fee. You know, if somebody, so the Baal Shem Tov says, so now the Baal Shem Tov just married off his Talmud Mufak, Rabbi Nachman Haridankis. No, Nachman, what's going to be the shadchanos? What are you going to pay me? Fellow Heshiv. So what is Rabbi Nachman Haridanka? What is he going to give the Baal Shem Tov? Money he doesn't have. Right? What is he going to do? What could he possibly give his Rebbe? Anula Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Kishetolid Bein, Ubiti Adol Tolid Bas, Nishtadich. So the Baal Shem Tov made his Talmud, Rabbi Nachman Haridanka, make a promise. Here's the promise. Nachman, when you have a son, you're going to get married, you're going to have a son. And my daughter Adol, remember we spoke about Adol. Remember, Adol is an acronym for Eish Das Lomo. That's how the Baal Shem Tov named his daughter Adol. Eish Das Lomo, referring to the Torah. The Ribono Shel Olam gave us the Torah. Eish Das Lomo, literally a fire of knowledge for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the Baal Shem Tov. The relationship between the Baal Shem Tov and his daughter Adol was very interesting. She essentially was one of his Talmidim. It was fascinating. She was one of his Talmidim. And actually, if the Baal Shem Tov often said that she was one of the best of his Talmidim. Quite an amazing idea. See, he said, you're going to have a son, and my daughter Adol, who's married, is going to have a daughter, and Emir Hashem, your son is going to marry my granddaughter. Your son, that's going to be the shadchanos. I don't want you to give me money, but rather, again, when you have your son and my daughter has her daughter, let them get married, and that's ultimately going to be the shadchanos. Ana Reb Nachman Zal va'amar le Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, halo an yachson o mesiachei sad David HaMelech. So listen, this is wild. It's from Nachman Haridanker, says, Rebbe, you'll excuse me, but our family has yichus. Can you imagine this, by the way? This is Reb Nachman Haridanker saying this to the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. The Reb Nachman Haridanker traced his yichus all the way back to David HaMelech. You know, in the footnote over here, so they write that Rabbi Nachman Haridanker was a seventh generation descendant, ultimately of the Maharal of Prague, and the Maharal traced his lineage back to David HaMelech. So says Rabbi Nachman Haridanker, Rebbe, I would love to have my son marry your granddaughter, but only one problem, which is we're Mesiaches to David HaMelech, and as such, we're very careful with which families we marry into. I can't imagine this conversation. So what happened? V'hotzia Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh Yichuso V'heralo. The Baal Shem Tov took out his family tree, showed it to Rabbi Nachman Haridanker, Shegam hu yachson u'mesiaches ad David HaMelech. Apparently, again, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh also had a ksav yichus, also had a family tree, a genealogical tree that showed that he was also a descendant of David HaMelech, v'nigmar hashiduch. So the Baal Shem Tov says, now again, I want to be clear, understand what happened over here, is this shidduch was sealed before what? Before what? Before the kids were born. This, by the way, is the answer to the shidduch crisis. Right? This absolutely is the way it needs to work. Right? So what happens here? Stay tuned in 1 second. So listen to this. So now what you see over here is the Baal Shem Tov's Talmud Mufak marries also, we'll see who his wife was. So he says, Nachman, when you have a son and my daughter Adol has a daughter, I want my granddaughter to marry your son. And they agreed.
It only works if you're from David HaMelech.
I'm sorry, right. It only works if you have yichus. That is true. You have to have yichus. So we'll say, so listen to this. This is an amazing ma'isa. I think I remember telling this ma'isa last Purim in the tish after the Seuda. So look at this. In paragraph Vav, this is amazing. Takeith umiyat achrei achupah. Ne'alam Rabbi Nachman. So listen, this is a peladik ma'isa. This is amazing. So right after the wedding, a Rabbi Nachman Haridanker, and again, the Pula Satzadik doesn't tell us the name of his wife. So Rabbi Nachman Haridanker, the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, gets married. And what happens? Right after the chuppah, he disappeared. Plus, like after the chuppah, he disappears. V'ishto lo yada eifohu ulehecha ne'alam. His wife has no idea where he is and where he disappeared to. So she waits for a couple of days. So after a few days, her husband's gone. So she comes back. Baal Shem Tov, I don't know where my husband is. I don't know where my husband is. What's, she starts crying to him. Can you imagine this? She said, Kalo. Right after a chuppah, her husband's gone. Takeif umiyad achara chuppah. Well, so you understand what this means. I mean, Nachman Hari Danker disappeared before the wedding was over. After the chuppah, he disappeared. And the Kala has absolutely no idea where her husband is. V'nifal ha'bal shem tov v'amr ha'kodesh v'amr lo, shetach zer ilav ba'ot kama yamim, u'ben kach yisvade mazeh. So the Baal Shem Tov says, give me a couple of days, and I'm going to find out what's going on. Well, so you have to understand something. The Baal Shem Tov ha'kodesh had Ruach ha'kodesh. So when the Baal Shem Tov says that, I'm going to find out what's going on. It's not the pshat that he's like dispatching messengers here. And there he means, through my Ruach ha'kodesh, I'm going to find out what's going on. U'bisoch kach, asa Baal Shem Tov ha'kodesh masha asa, v'tzafa b'ruach ha'kodesh. So the Baal Shem Tov goes ahead, uses his Ruach ha'kodesh, Eifo Talmido Rabbi Nachman Mischabe. Where is Rabbi Nachman Hari Danker? Where is he hiding? V'tekef u'miyad. So the Baal Shem Tov locates Rabbi Nachman Hari Danker through his Ruach HaKodesh. V'tekef u'miyad shalach l'sham shaliach l'havio elav. And what happens? The Baal Shem Tov dispatches, an agent dispatches a shaliach to go ahead and bring back Rabbi Nachman Hari Danker. Okay, so what happens? They bring back Rabbi Nachman Hari Danker to the Baal Shem Tov. So they bring him back. Ukishabar Rabbi Nachman, Sha'al Osa Baal Shem Tov, Madua Asisa Kazos, La'agin Isha Tekef Umiyad Achare Achopa. So the Baal Shem Tov asks Rabbi Nachman Hari Danker, what are you doing? How can you do that? You get married. And you run out and you leave your wife in Aguna. She has absolutely no idea where you are. How do you do that right after the chuppah? The Heshiv, Gerrit Vizibos, say. The Heshiv, Shetzofe Beruach HaKodesh, Ki Yihie Lo Mimena Bein, V'teket Umiyat Kesheivala HaBeid, Tomus. Rab Nachman Hari Danker said, I saw Beruach HaKodesh, that I'm going to have a son with my wife, and as soon, like the Baal Shem Tov had promised that they were going to have a son, but I saw Beruach HaKodesh that immediately after my child is born, my wife is going to die. I saw she's going to deliver the baby safely, and she's going to die afterwards. Va'al kein, ani chas al yemei ne'urah, ve'chlatati livroach. Therefore, says Rabbi Nachman Hari Danker, I love my wife, I care about my wife, and I decided that the only way I can keep her alive is to run away. That's why, again, I wasn't trying to be terrible. I wasn't trying to hurt her. In fact, I was just trying to keep her alive. And the only way to keep her alive is for her not to have a child. So what happens? So the Baal Shem Tov sends for the wife. Wife Rav Nachman Hari Danker. And he says to her, listen, he says, the Baal Shem Tov tells the wife about everything that Rab Nachman Hari Denker saw b'nevuah, that they're going to have a son, and immediately after the birth of the child, she's going to die. And now you understand why your husband ran away. Not chas v'shalom because he doesn't love you, because he doesn't care about you. Fakir, just the opposite, because he cares so much about you that he doesn't want to put your life in peril. V'heshiva, listen to what she responds. Im b'ayli tzadik gadol kol kach, V'roa asidos, ani maskima lehisaber ulaholid mimenu bein. So what does she respond? She says, if my husband is such a tzaddik that he can see the future, that he's got Ruach HaKodesh, I'm willing to take my chances. To be married to such a tzaddik like this, I'm willing to go ahead and take my chances and see what happens. V'kein haya, Shrabi Nachman chazer al beiso v'nisabra. Rabbi Nachman comes back home. His wife becomes pregnant. Rabbi says, it's an amazing maysa. His wife becomes pregnant. U'bishas haleida bach sama od va'amra. As she was giving birth, his wife begins to cry. And she says, Ribono shel olam, al tikacheni meha olam ad chodesh yamim. Ribono shel olam, I know the gzera. The gzera is that I'm supposed to die right now after childbirth. I'm asking you, don't take my life for another 30 days. Kedei she'ucha liros ulehishtasheya ma'at imbini. And then she says such heartbreaking words. She says, I want to be able to see my child, to see my son a little bit. What's lehishtasheya? What's it called? Lehishtasheya means? Like to play with my child. You know, this is a mother, a brand new mother. She's saying, don't take me now. just let me have a little bit of time to be able to be with my child, to be able to play with my child. Please, Ribono Shel Olam, just give me a little bit of time in this world. V'niskayim came, and indeed her words came true. Shechaya od chodesh shemim achar haleida umesa. She lived for a month after she gave birth, and then she died. But here's the amazing part. V'Rabbi Nachman his own in ma'od. So we'll say, first we have to understand, tragic is her passing. Rabbi Nachman Hari Danker now is a young, single father. Young, single father. His wife has passed away, he's all alone. See, he used to lament, and he said, and this is amazing, he says, Lama biksha rak al chodesh yamim. Why did she only ask the Ribono Shel Olam for 30 days? Halo haya az esratzon gadol b'shemayim. In that moment when she was davening, it was such an esratzon, it was such a time of divine mercy. Vim haisa mispalelas sheyevuto hagzardin haisa po'eles. Had she davened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu let me live, negate the decree, she would have lived. We'll say, understand what Rabbi Nachman Hari Danker was saying. It's an incredible musr here. What's the musr? That sometimes, what he was lamenting was, she sold herself so short. She underestimated the koach of her tefillah. She could have asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the gold, to annul the decree, but instead, she asked for the bronze. She asked for a month of extra life, and it's beautiful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to her. She met her son. She got to play with her son. But it could have been so much more. This story always, it always amazes me because it's symptomatic of sometimes the pitfall we have in life, which is we sell ourselves short. Well, see, we just had this in Daf Yomi a little while ago, right? You know, the Gemara talks about beautiful Gemara. About Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, right? So remember again the famous story. So Yerushalayim is under siege by the Bayonim. They're not letting anyone in, letting anyone out. So they smuggle out Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, right? He's taken out. They pretend he's dead. He's taken out, and he comes to face with Vespasian. Vespasian says, "Nu, what do you want?" And what does Rabbi Nachman say? Rabbi Nachman says, "Give tainly." See, not Rabbi Nachman. Sorry, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, "Tainly Yavne v'Chachamel. Give me the city of Yavne and the sages." Right, spare the family of Rabbi Gamliel, and give me a doctor for Rabbi Tzadok. So the rabbis, when they look, this is in retrospect, at the words of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, they essentially quoted the pasuk, right? Meshiv das achor, ksil chachar, I forgot the exact lashon of the pasuk. But essentially, the pasuk is talking about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes wise people do foolish things. And they said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, excuse me, you fool. Vespasian asked you what you want. What should you have said to him? What should you have said? Go home. Don't march in Yerushalayim anymore. Turn back. Just this one time. So and what was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's cheshbon? Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ask Vespasian to simply call off the siege and go back home? Why doesn't he? Tefasta meruba lo tefasta. He was concerned that sometimes in life, if you go ahead and you ask for too much, and the answer is no, then what happens? You're left with nothing. So, was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai right or wrong? Did he make the right call by asking for those three things and not asking for the salvation of the klal or not? Was he right or wrong? Truth is, we don't know. We don't know. Would Vespasian have heeded Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's request to call off the siege? Maybe yes, maybe no. But the reality is, we'll never know. And that Gemara, just like this story, is the tension of the human condition. On one hand, yes, there's a concept of tafasta, meruba lo tafasta. I'll say, remember again, I don't know if they still have it, but I remember when I was little, they used to have these, these game shows, or these sweepstakes, you know, you'd win, and you'd go ahead and you'd get, 5 minutes in a toy store, or like in one of these stores. Remember this? Whatever you could grab, you get, right? So it was always interesting to me, you know, how you saw there were two different kinds of people. So there were some people that went into the store, mamish, like they just went mshuga. They were just pulling everything they could into the cart and whatever. And there were other people who are much more methodical because, you know, if you take everything, the truth is you'll get a lot of stuff, but what? Not necessarily the stuff that you want. Not necessarily the stuff that has any kind of value. Whereas if you're a little bit more methodical, you get less stuff, but you might actually get more quality. You see, less quality. So I always felt like that, you know, there's Yesh Chachma Bagoyim. You know, so there's something to be said for that as well, that, you know, what is the right approach to life? Do we go for the gold in every situation? Like, do I always try to do the best? Do I always try to be the best? Do I always try to outperform? Do I always try to go for the gold? Or do I say, well, if I go for the gold and I don't get it, I'm left with nothing. Maybe I should go out and do something much more manageable, like the bronze or the silver, which is attainable and it's great. It's not gold, but it's good and I could attain it. So we'll say, so what's the right answer?
We don't know.
There's no right answer. There is no right answer. Meaning, because sometimes in life you go for the gold, and sometimes I'll say this is the general idea.
Sometimes in life you go for the gold, you get the silver and the bronze. You go for the silver and the bronze, you end up with nothing.
Correct. But sometimes if you go for the gold and you don't get it, you also end up with nothing. I'm sorry?
You'll end up with the silver or bronze.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I'm saying there are life initiatives where if you go after the ideal and you fail, it's not necessarily that you wind up with the second best thing. You run the risk sometimes of ending up with nothing. I mean, again, that's what Rabbi Yochanan, meaning, let's take Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai felt strongly that had he asked Vespasian to call off the siege, it's not the pshat that Vespasian would have said, listen, here's the deal. I can't call off the siege, but I'll give you Yavne. I'll give you the family of Rabbi Gamliel, and I'll give you a doctor. I mean, there was no consolation prize. If you strike out. You're done. So you're right. Okay. Sometimes if you go for the gold, it's okay, because even if you don't get there, what's below that, you're still attainable. But sometimes, again, you run the risk of losing everything. That's Ben.
But logically and rationally, you would apply your abilities in the against the task, and then contemplate and calculate, you know, your abilities, but the task as to what you should do for it.
Right.
Why even waste the effort and energy?
Right.
And lose your self-esteem.
But that's good, because in that case, in your example, you know exactly what you can and what you can't do, and you know what the metric for success is. Life doesn't usually follow that paradigm. You
at
don't.
Our age,
I'm sorry.
At my age, I hope that I have my wits about me, even though I am crazy.
No. But I'm saying, but often in life, you don't have all of that information on the front end. Some things in life that I want to achieve and I want to accomplish, I'm not even sure exactly what I need to do in order to accomplish it, but I know I'd like to accomplish it. I don't even know all the different tasks, all the different parts that are involved in it. So you're right, if a person knows what's involved in getting the gold, then you're right, you make an informed decision. But the mice, sometimes they just don't know. That's what I'm going
to say. Yeah, I guess I would say that from my understanding, the nafkamina between the story with the Chorban and over here is, we understand the concept of tapas mu'ba bin adam l'chaveru, because you really don't know how they're going to respond. In the Kaddish Baruch Hu, their concept doesn't apply, because really the sky is the limit.
That appears to be what Rabbi Nachman Hari Danker was saying.
Right.
It's a beautiful, beautiful chilgah. So this idea that I tafasta meruba lo tafasta, that if you grab too much, you get nothing. That's the people. Mm-hmm. That's the people. Because people are somewhat unpredictable. You don't know what they're going to do, how they're going to do it. So Vespasian, if I ask you to withdraw the siege, are you going to say okay? Or are you going to say no? And a chutzpah for asking, are you going to say no? But I'll give you something else. Right, that's unpredictable. That's what Rabbi Nachman Hari Danker was saying. My dear wife, had you only asked, with the Ribono Shel Olam, you're never turned away empty from asking. If you ask and it's the Eis Ratzon, there's an opportunity, what you could have accomplished. It's a tragic story to begin with, but it's a compounded tragedy because Rabbi Nachman felt that his wife could have potentially saved herself by just realizing that she had the power to ask for the annulment of the Kriya. Also, there's another muster in it as well. The other muster is that, you know, see, so why didn't she ask? Why didn't she ask for the annulment of the decree? let's play this out for just a moment. Now, not that you could ask so many kashas on a Hasidic Shemaisa, but why didn't she ask? Right? Why she's giving birth? Ribono Shel Olam. What?
She accepted it.
She accepted it. See, here's the difference also. It's an incredible, that's the power of these Maisalach. They're not just interesting stories. It's incredible Musar Haskil. See, the difference is that she was told that she was going to die. She was so, sometimes, and this is an incredible Yisod, sometimes when people tell me something, and they tell me something enough, what happens? What happens? Mm-hmm. I begin to believe it. Because I'll tell you an incredible, I remember, this is an interesting Maisalach. I remember when I first started in the Ravonis, so I had a, not here in Baltimore, this is back in New Jersey, so I had a father that came to me with his daughter, and his daughter couldn't get into college. She wanted to go to Stern College, she couldn't get into college. So came to me, maybe you know some people, you can help her get into college. I said, okay, like tell me, like, why do you think she doesn't get, like, what is it? She said, well, I could tell you, she's terrible at math. Father saying this in front of his wife about that. So I pulled the father to the side. I said, can I just ask you a question? Can we talk about college? I said, how long have you been saying that your daughter is terrible at math? Just curious. We've known she's terrible at math from the time she was in first grade. And I said, you told her that? Like, you made it known that she's terrible at math? He said, yeah, we didn't. You know, we accepted her limitations. So I realized at this point in time the damage was done. It wasn't going to be undone. And let's say, so what happened? What happened over here? It's a very simple situation. When you tell a child that they're not good at something, or you tell a child that they're incapable of something, at a certain point in time when you say it enough in a sustained fashion, so what ends up happening? They accept it. Let's say it's the same way that many of us went through different yeshiva systems where sometimes we were told because of bad things that we were did that we were bad kids. So what happens when a Rebbe tells a kid enough times that he's a bad kid? What happens? I'm a bad kid. The Rebbe said I'm a bad kid. So I guess I'm a bad kid. That's the way that it is. See, and adults are the same way. If you tell an adult something enough times, ultimately a person begins to accept it about themselves as well. The tragedy here is that because the wife of Rav Nachman Haridenker heard this decree, and remember again, this is even more severe because she heard it from her husband who had Rech HaKodesh. The Baal Shem Tov like affirmed it. You know, the Baal Shem Tov himself didn't say, no, don't worry about it. The Baal Shem Tov didn't say, no, you could change it. The Baal Shem Tov said, look, this is what he sees, Rech HaKodesh. And remember what she said. She never said, let's try to change it. She said, you know what? If you have Rech HaKodesh, I'll take my chances. But she accepted the limitation of her circumstances. And when you accept the limitations of your circumstances, you create for yourself a glass ceiling. So in her mind, there was never the possibility to daven for the full annulment of the decree. That wasn't on the table. The most that was on the table was what? It was like a stay of execution, right? The most that's on the table is we could go ahead and commute the sentence for a little while. We could push it off to annul it. It's a fait accompli. It is what it is. I'm saying it's such an incredible yisod. How often in life we accept certain realities for ourselves. This is what it is. This is the reality. This is my glass ceiling. Who said? Who said that? Well, I said. Or my Rebbe said. Or my friend said. Or this one said. Or my parents said. People say a lot of stuff. And those things become realities for us. Those realities become glass ceilings. But those glass ceilings are often self-imposed. Had the wife of Nachman Haridenka realized that, especially like Dovi said before, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything's on the table. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything's possible. She might have felt the afshar, she might have felt the ability to daven for the annulment of the decree. Let's just read one last section, then we'll stop for tonight. That paragraph Zayin. V'hayos, Sh'Rabbi Nachman Nishar Yechidi Imbino, V'lo Haya Lo Eitzam Yilahashir Spinos. Now remember, Rabbi Nachman is now a young widower, a young single father, and he has no one to watch his son. As you all say, remember again, it's a different, you know the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Hilchos Avelos, that a man with young children, according to him, is permitted to get remarried even within Shloshim. Even within Shloshim. Can you imagine this? Meaning, to us it sounds crazy, right? I don't remember, there's a Maaseh in the Gemara like this, where one of the Tanoim lost his wife, and at the funeral, he went over to her sister, his deceased wife's sister, and essentially said, you know, maybe we can get married. So to us, it sounds like shocking. It sounds shocking. But understand that marriage, a wife, was necessary for the raising of the children. Meaning that's why the Shulchan Aruch gives that dispensation to be able to go ahead and do this, even again in, during Shloshim. So Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker is all alone. V'lo hayelo eitzel mila hashir espino. And as such, remember, he was often sent on missions by his Rebbe. Va'alkein hishir es beno yichido shekaro b'shem simcha eitzel adol bas habal shem tov hakadosh shusham niskado. Therefore, we'll say, what does he do? He leaves his son, and now, by the way, you see something amazing. What was the little boy's name? The little boy's name was Simcha. Amazing. The little boy's name was Simcha. And Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker often left Simcha in the home of Adol, the daughter of the Baal Shem Tov, and we'll see that Adol essentially becomes Simcha's. Remember, Simcha's the son of the Baal Shem Tov's Talmud Mufak, Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker. So the Baal Shem Tov's daughter Adol essentially becomes the surrogate mother of little Simcha. All right, so we're going to stop over here. I'm sorry?
Was she the grandmother?
There's no relation at this point.
No, there's no relationship between them right now. Right now, remember again, so we're going to see, correct, meaning that Simcha is going to marry Adol's daughter. Simcha is going to marry Adol's daughter. But right now, again, that's we only know about the Nevuah of the Baal Shem Tov, but nothing else besides that.
You remember the story with the other, I'll say, Shabbos, she has the...